Hey, thanks for joining us here on our podcast at Vibe Church. We know this message is going to bless you.
Come on, are you ready to expand this morning? Are you ready for the Word of God to come into your life and into your spirit? Well, if you're ready for the Word of God, would you open your Bible while you stay standing to Luke chapter 5? And we've been in a series called Fish, a series where we have really been taking the idea of fish in the Bible and looking at the faithfulness and the foreknowledge of God. And we started this series out with our campus pastors preaching, and they did a good job too. Would you just encourage them at all of our locations? And they preached on the five loaves and two fish. And then week two, I preached a sermon called Go Fish, where we looked at the story in the Bible. I'm getting some thumbs up. Some people like that sermon, where we looked at how Peter found a coin in the fish's mouth and used it to pay the temple tax. And then last week, we preached a sermon. Well, I preached it. You didn't do much at all. You just received it. I preached a sermon called Free Willy, where we looked at the idea of our free will working with God's will and how His sovereignty works best with our surrender. That was a good sermon, wouldn't you agree? Today, I want to continue, but I want to give you another fish story. And I want to look from Luke chapter 5 and verse 1. It says, one day, let's read it together, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the Word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat down in the boat and taught the crowds from there. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, now go out where it's deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish. Master, Simon replied, we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let down the nets again. And this time their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in another boat, and soon the boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, oh, Lord, please leave me. I'm such a sinful man. For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. Verse 10, his partners James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. Jesus replied to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people. And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. As I mentioned, today we're going to close out this incredible series called Fish, and a series where we've looked at the foreknowledge of God, we've looked at the faithfulness of God, we've looked at the sovereignty and the free will that goes with that. And so I thought that today we could kind of finish this series by looking at the idea of calling. Because in this passage, we see that Peter receives his calling, and it's also illustrated with a great catch. So I thought I'd preach from the subject, the catch with our calling. Does anybody want to stick around for the sermon today? Well, I'm glad. I need someone to preach too. So why don't you do something as you ready your hearts for the Word of God? Find five people around you and say, there's always a catch. Come on, there's always a catch. High five them. Tell them there's always a catch. Come on, find five people. San Jose. Come on, Oakland. Let's go. Let's go. Five people. There is always a catch. Always a catch. Amen. Amen. Hey, we recently celebrated 5 years as a church, which, thank you, is no small milestone at all. You know, to really see what God has done from nothing to now just in 5 short years, 4 campuses around the Bay Area, and the influence that this house is having, it is an incredible miracle, really, to say the least, to see what God has done. And to be a part of that is significant. For those who are recently new to the church, you probably won't appreciate it as much, but for those of us who were here in the beginning, then you would just see how great God is and how good His grace is to those that He chooses. Amen. And like any event, any anniversary, or really anything at the moment that comes upon itself as an anniversary, what we have with social media, especially if you're connected to social media, especially Facebook, you get this thing now called memories that flood your feed of different posts or of different like photos that you've taken that flash up at the time that you took them 1 year or 5 years ago. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And it's fascinating because Kira and I were recently looking at that being the anniversary of the church launch. And we were looking at some of the videos that we posted back then in utter horror and disgust that anybody came to the church and why they came to the church in that season, talking the way we did and looking the way we did. What on earth were people thinking? But great is the faith that they had. Amen. And yet, looking back, we were reminded of the circumstances that were surrounding the launch of this church and how God had called us from Australia at that time to the United States, to this great nation, the promised land of God. Come on, someone give it up for America. Come on, that God has a plan for this nation. Amen. And so we got kind of caught up looking at it and thinking back how crazy it was in that season when God first called us. And in that time, we had actually come from Australia. We landed here and I had a big plan for planning this church. For the first time in my life, I planned 15 days in advance. That's what I had. I had the first 15 days planned out. We had 15 days of accommodation planned. Beyond that, we had no idea what we were going to do. But God was going to do something. Amen. And he had to move after 15 days. We had 15 days of finances. Amen. And so we decided that we had 15 days, so we had no time to lose. So each and every day, I had a plan of what we were going to achieve to set up a church. Good idea, right? And so I remember day one was the first thing we were going to do, Bill, is we were going to get a cell phone because you cannot plan a church without a cell phone. You need to call people. You need to make arrangements. You need to put notifications on Facebook. So you need to let the community know that there's a new church in town. And so I remember I went to the phone store and as happy as they were to receive our money, they said, well, you know, you want to set up a contract, there's a little catch. You need a thing called an SSN. And I had no idea what that was. What is this code you talk of? But they said, you need a social security number to get a contract. You don't even exist in this country without one of them. And so I said, okay, got to get one of them. Now, we were eligible for it. We're legal. Okay, your pastors were legal in the country. Don't worry about that. But there's a little catch with getting an SSN. You had to be in the country for 10 days before they would give you one. All right, so now my plan's a little hijacked. So I thought, well, what can I do next? Because I need to set up a bank account because the way God works, he just brings people along, amen, who hear from God and want to give to a church. And so we need a bank account for them to give to. So we go to the bank and they say, well, we'd love to give you a bank account, except you just need some US ID. You got anything? So I don't have any US ID. How do I get one of them? They said, well, you need to go. There's a little catch. We'll give you an account, but you need to go to the DMV. How many people know that's a great welcome to the United States of America right there? Get the heartbeat of the nation. Now, when I was at the Social Security office, the kind lady did give me a heads up and try and prepare me, this young church planner who obviously had no clue. She said, I just will warn you that you're now in the land of red tape. Oh, how her words came true. Because I go to the DMV, sit there for 15 hours, not making an appointment. Now you could understand that the whole population of Australia is 27 million people. That's half of what the registered population is of California, okay? So you don't make appointments. You just turn up, say, hey, Jack, how you doing? Give me what I need. But here I'm waiting for 15 hours with 5,000 other people for an appointment. We get to the counter and we say, we'd like some ID. And she said, have you got a social security number? Now, this is the cycle that we often get caught in life. Would you agree that with everything in life, we're a little skeptical because everything has a catch. Wouldn't you agree? You know, any idea that comes along, you're like, what's the catch? I kind of feel like it's the same with God's calling. We want to know God's calling for our life, but what's the catch? Because if it was so obvious, why don't I know if I'm doing it or not? What's the catch? And what I find here in this passage is we have a significant event, to say the least, an event taking place where what we find in Luke chapter 5, it records the circumstances surrounding Jesus' selection of his first disciples. Now, Jesus has already kicked off his ministry. He's already preaching. People are gathering. In fact, we find in this moment as he's preaching, he's at the seashore, the shoreline of the Sea of Galilee, where he's preaching and a large crowd are starting to gather and press upon him. So in an attempt to preach effectively, the Bible says that he steps into Simon Peter's boat and he asks him to push out a little. From there, he could be seen and he could be heard by the entire crowd that have gathered and surrounding him. This was not only an effective form of communication, but it also gave the disciples a front row seat to Jesus' teaching. Simon Peter, at this point in the story, is a professional fisherman. He is a career fisherman. He is a fisherman by trade. I'm trying to emphasize the fact that Simon Peter knew about fish. If anybody knew about fish, a fisherman knows about fish. They don't just know fish. They know how fish operate. They know where fish congregate. They know where fish move, how they move, what time of day they move. I dare say that he's been catching fish for some time because he's got his own boat. And being a fisherman, he doesn't just know how to catch them. He knows how to cook them. This is probably Peter. Peter knows fish. And being well-versed in fish, knowing fish is what he did. What we find in this story, in the midst of what he's doing, he also discovers God's calling for his life. How many people would admit that they are somewhat intrigued, at least, by the idea of calling? Anybody? Just try and get some participation in this Presbyterian church. I'm trying to just get some people involved in the sermon, because I don't know about you, but the subject of God's calling is something that I want to know. In fact, as a pastor, probably the most predominant question I get asked really centers around God's calling. It's not always put that way, you know, precisely. People don't like that spiritual word so much. They don't come in and say, I want to know God's calling, or how do I prepare myself for God's call in this life? But it's often asked how do I know what God wants me to do in life? How do I know? Or even more, is what I'm doing connected with what God wants me doing? We want to know. And it doesn't stop there either. It often goes a little bit further, because the real question I want to know is, I also want to know, who does God want me to marry in this life? And I also want to know, where does God want me to live? And what career path should I take? And then we even discuss what school our kids should go to, what kids should we have, how many kids we should have, and what ones we should keep, and what school should we put them in? How many people know what I'm talking about? This is how real parents talk, by the way. And every time we ask this question, there's always a sense of urgency with it, because I don't want to get too far down a path in life only to realize I wasn't connected to God's call this whole time. So we don't want to waste any time. I want to know now what God's calling me to. And this question around calling is always contentious. Would you agree? It's contentious. And it's contentious because we always ask calling in consideration to other people's calling. What I'm trying to say is we always compare. We see people in their calling. We see how effective they are in their calling. And so I want to know, what's my calling? And is success a measure or a confirmation of someone being in their calling? I'm trying to set some tension in this church. Because this is how we think. This is how we approach it. And ultimately, the reason why we compare is because as humans, we're competitive by nature. If you don't believe me, just find the closest married couple to you and ask them, because every married couple knows that the minute you get married, or even before it for some of us, it's competitive. Yesterday was my wife's birthday. You can give it up for her. And we've had this thing ever since we started celebrating each other's birthday. We know exactly how each other work. She knows if it's my birthday, just call everybody we know and just plan a party. The bigger the party, the better. And she knows that. But for her, she likes to just get away. She likes me all to herself. That's how she likes it. Oh, that's how I interpret it, at least. And so we have different ways that we like to celebrate our birthday, but regardless of how we like to celebrate it, there is always a competition about who can do the best birthday. And I feel like after this weekend, I'm winning. I'm just going to say that. But But it's a competition. And it didn't even start for us when we got married. Even I remember like one of our first dates, we were at the beach. You probably remember this, honey. And we're walking along the beach and I just picked up a rock, maybe just to show my skill. And I threw it at a pole, slightly missed it. You picked up a rock and hit it. We then spent the next hour me trying to hit this pole unsuccessfully. But it's been on ever since. Amen. But it isn't just in marriage that we're competitive. We're competitive in life, and being competitive is actually most evident in comparison. The way we compare our life with somebody else's. How we compare our career with somebody else's. Even as a minister. Can I tell you how sick I am? Can I do that? I'm twisted sometimes, and I don't know if I should tell you this stuff. Usually Sunday afternoon, I live in regret thinking, should I have told my church that? Am I not meant to be building faith in them as their leader and as their pastor? But I get some twisted thoughts sometimes, man. The other day, and we're in a planning season in our church, okay? We are like, we're planning some big stuff. You can be excited about it. I'm telling you, you're in for a treat in the next couple months and in 2018. And we've been in back-to-back planning meetings. I mean, we've just been, like, I've been in meetings after meetings, planning some cool stuff. And I just thought the other day, I think it was like Thursday, I was in a meeting and I just thought I'd take a break in the middle of the meeting and I just do a little Instagram. Don't act like you don't do that, okay? And I put a little Instagram picture I've been holding on to, waiting to post, and put a little caption with it, just a little caption saying, so excited for the big plans that God has for our community in 2018, something like that. Posted it and then got back to the meeting. And then later that day, I remembered, oh, I posted a photo. Let me just check how that's doing. Anybody else do that? You know, just see how many likes you got, how much interaction you got. And I was a little surprised because I did have some comments, but not one single comment was from somebody a part of Vibe Church. Not one of them. The comments came from every single person that was in some other church, so excited about what God was doing in this house, yet the people in this house were not excited, obviously, at all. And so I'm now confused as to why my church are not excited about what God has for them. So I start making excuses for you guys. That's what I do. I say, oh, you know, my church is so busy in their careers. They don't have time for superfluous things like social media. They're saving the world and they're transforming people's lives one coding piece at a time. And then I'm thinking, but they work in social media, so they're on this all the time. Then I'm thinking, you know, it was the time of day that I posted it. That's what it was. You know, it had to be like in the bad time when you don't post anything because no one sees it. And then I start looking at one of my buddy who he's a minister. He's got church. And he posted a picture, nowhere near as good as mine. His caption was way more boring than mine. And yet I see his church, Pastor, we're behind you. We're so excited. We can't be there. And I'm like, am I even called to this? I know that. But it's indicative of how the enemy works in our life. And his goal ultimately is to put our calling into question through a series of different things, be it something so simple like comparison, how he'll want to bring our very calling that comes from God and put it into question, knowing full well that the confidence in our life comes from knowing God's calling. And when you're assured of his call, then you have incredible confidence. That's why I am so eager for our young people to get gripped by a sense of God's calling from a young age. Because to tell young people just not to do certain things doesn't work very long. But when they're occupied and when they're filled with a great sense of God's call, it doesn't matter what the enemy brings along. It doesn't matter any temporal pleasure or any temptation that they may find, because they know they're called. They don't waste time with that season. That's why you need to get your young people in Vive Youth under Pastor Rob and Terry Graham, because they're going to put the call of God on the inside of them. Amen. Amen. So how do we help our kids discover their calling? I mean, let's get our priorities right. How do we know our calling? How do we How do we discover it? Well, here what we have in Luke 5 is an amazing illustration of not only how Simon Peter's calling is revealed, but how God's calling is realized in our life too. Check this out. I want to show you something, because what we know really about this story is that it's a story of a miraculous catch. Wouldn't you agree? Jesus, after preaching from the shallows, he says to Simon Peter, "Now push out to where it is deep and let down your nets for a catch of fish." And it's interesting to me, because what we see is this is an amazing display of Jesus' foreknowledge, okay? This is what we've been talking about in this series, that Jesus foreknowing exactly where the fish would congregate, knowing exactly where to cast nets, knowing that you can't cast them from the shallows, push out to where it's deep, throw the nets not on that side of the boat, but on the other side of the boat, and that's going to be precisely where the fish are, despite the disciples, the fishermen at this stage, not even disciples at this point, but despite knowing that they'd been out all night, knowing that they hadn't caught a thing, it's not like they even caught a smaller than usual catch. They hadn't caught a thing. So the likelihood of catching something now is even in the negative. So knowing that it's also the worst possible time of the day to be fishing, what's revealed through Jesus' foreknowledge is that even in the worst circumstances in life, when you have Jesus' presence in your life, that creates the perfect condition for a miracle. And the Bible, don't give me golf claps. I don't want golf claps today. Come on, if you're going to praise Jesus for his miraculous power in every circumstance, go ahead and make it vocal. Because what we have in this passage, the Bible tells us that the nets were so full of fish. This wasn't even just like a couple fish. This was so full of fish that the nets were beginning to break and the vessels were beginning to sink. And it's then, only then, that we see Jesus off the back of this catch begin to reveal that just as fishermen catch fish, from now on, he's calling them to catch people. He says to Simon Peter, he says, "Follow me," and immediately, there's no doubt about it, they drop everything and they follow him. So how many people would think it would be nice for your calling to be this clear in life? How many people would agree that would just be handy? If it was just that clear after a great miracle, God reveals, "Now follow me," and you can just drop everything and go. Well, I would to suggest, and I would argue, that our calling is this clear in life, but there's a catch. Look at your neighbor real quick and say, "There's always a catch." Say it like that too. Emphasize the always. There's all. Look at your neighbor. Come on, be a participant in this church. It's amazing. Doesn't matter how I say or what I say. Some people are like, "Uh-uh, not doing it. I'm not talking to my neighbor. You can't make me." In fact, in this story, there's two catches. You didn't know that, did you? I mean, there's an obvious one, and then there's one that's very easy to miss, but is actually the key to positioning yourself in and discovering God's call. In fact, let's go back to the story for a moment, because maybe we can actually see what we missed. Because it says this in verse 1, "One day, as Jesus was preaching from the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets." Verse 3, "Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there." He just stepped in. I like this about Jesus. Sometimes it's preached that Jesus will not force himself upon your life. That's not consistent with what I read in scripture about Jesus, because when you get to know Jesus, Jesus has a tendency just to push himself into your life, and he begins to push his way in, and he'll press in on you whether you like it or not. He will get right up in your face, and he will get right up in your zone, and he will come right into the place that you don't want him to be, and he'll expose some stuff. But I like this story, because here we've got Peter, they're washing their nets, they've been fishing all night. And what we find is that he comes right up in the midst of them and simply just steps into his boat. Just steps in. Not invited. I mean, you think about the audacity of Jesus for a moment to just take a boat
true.
Just steps in. How many people know Tufan? He's a great encourager here at Vive Church. He often leads claps and amens and in the right moment. But I like this seat that you're in. Thank you, Tufan. In fact, you can go ahead and find another seat, maybe just somewhere else, because I like this seat. And I like this seat because...
Is it because I'm here?
Because you're here, yeah, of course. Because great company around, it's a good place to sit. You guys got good seats today. Apologize for all the people up the back, but these guys got here early. Amen. So I'm just playing, church. Go with me, you Presbyterians. So I love Presbyterians as well. Amen. So what we've got is a great seat. And have you ever considered what qualified Peter and the other fishermen to receive such a magnificent and amazing call? Have you ever wondered that?
Yeah.
I mean, what they're about to become are disciples. Yeah. They're about to become the disciples that would be exposed to Jesus' teaching. They got the green room treatment. They got behind the scenes. They saw firsthand the miracles. And I'm sure we all want a calling. When we think about calling, that's the kind of calling we think about. I want one of those callings. I want to be front row on what God does in the Bay Area. I want to see it firsthand. And yet, what qualified them? Because we know that they had no formal biblical training.
Yes.
We know they didn't go to seminary.
Right.
In fact, what we do know and what is written in Scripture is that they were ordinary.
Yeah. Amen.
So ordinary that it annoyed the Pharisees.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let me show you. Let's put up on the screen Acts chapter 4, 13. There it is. Look at them go. It says, the members of the council, this is talking about the religious leaders, were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. Go on, for they could see that they were, come on, say it with me, church. They were ordinary men with no special training in the Scriptures. There was nothing spectacular about these guys. In the truest sense of the word, they were fishermen. They were just your average, ordinary tradesmen. But yet, Jesus comes along preaching to the crowd, steps into the thick of their life and says, I'm getting in this boat. So what was it about them specifically that Jesus gets into their boat? Well, I like that it says that he noticed two boats.
Wow.
Nothing gets the attention of God more than faith and availability.
Wow.
And I like this chair, but while Tufan was sitting in it, I couldn't sit in it because it was occupied.
Yeah.
But as soon as he made it available, it made it ready for me to fill. And there is no difference between this chair and that chair with its ability to hold my weight. The only thing that caused me to be the one to sit in this chair was its availability. I dare say that this is how God works in our life, where we're complaining about how we're not able and we're wondering if I have the ability, if I have the competency, if I have the pedigree to be used by God. But God is saying, I'm not looking for ability. I'm simply looking for someone who's available, who has a vessel that I can use, who has a seat that I can fill, who has a heart that I can say, come on, would you fill this space, God? I'm ready. I'm willing. And Jesus steps into the boat. Jesus steps into the boat. You thought that he was looking for some kind of competency, that he was looking for some kind of training, some kind of heritage, some kind of lineage, that maybe because your parents weren't in ministry or weren't doing something significant for God, that maybe you can't. It's not the case for the disciples. It's not the case what we see here. He said he noticed two empty boats stepping into one of the boats. He told Simon Peter to push out a little. His boat was empty, meaning he was available. And I wonder if this is how God wants to move in our life and the way he wants to reveal our calling. But I think that what we often respond with when it comes to the call of God is we qualify it as if it fits into our schedule. You'd be astonished with the conversations that I have. Man, they'd keep you up at night. Just the way people talk. And I receive emails, and on the surface, they seem good. I receive emails from people just saying so excited for the ministry of Vive Church, and I love what you're doing, and we've been praying for a move of God in the Bay Area, and as a family, we've been looking for a move of God, and we would love to partner with what God's doing in the Bay Area. What can we do? And I say, turn up the church. And you know how hard that is? Do you know how hard that is? To turn up the church? To just say, okay, God, no, we don't want to just turn up. We want to do something for God. We'll just turn up. And often we want God to move in our life, but yet we don't want to even do simple attendance. We can't even just be available. And what God wants to do, He wants to do through you. There is something that God needs. He needs a vessel to move through. Someone who is simply available. Instead, they want to submit their degrees and their qualifications. Well, God's just looking for availability. This is good preaching. God's always wanting to move. Sometimes we think we need to pray prayers like we've got to twist God's arm and pray the prayers right and convince God to move in our finances and move in our life. I got to tell you, God's waiting. Say, hey, man, I've got so many blessings for you. I'm just waiting for you to get up so you can pray and access the provision that I've already given you. Believe by faith, make your vessel available, and I will move. And I will move. I want to move. God wants to move in our life. He's wanting to move. He's wanting to reveal some things. He's wanting to actually move in our heart. And we see this with Simon Peter. Because he was free, because he was available, God moved into his boat, but there's also a catch. I want to talk about the catch. Because there's always a catch. And it's easy to miss the catch that I'm talking about because we often see the emphasis of this story on the catch of fish. It's a great catch. It's a miraculous catch. What business owner wouldn't want that kind of surplus, wouldn't want one of those kind of days of finances coming in and products being sold and just the provision of heaven. And I've heard this preached in the realm of giving and finances, and that's good. But I dare say that there is a deeper teaching to this sermon beyond just finances. And if we actually check it out in verse 4 and 5, it's going to show us exactly what we miss. Because it says in verse 4, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, now go out where it's deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish. I could preach that verse. Don't worry about that. Moving out where it's deeper. And I could preach that. I'm not going to today, but even as I'm reading, I feel like I could preach that. But verse 5 is where I want to show, because it says, Master, Simon replied, we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again. Did you catch that? Here we've got Jesus being a carpenter and a teacher schooling Peter on how to fish. And you could forgive Peter, knowing Peter that we do from Scripture. We know that Peter's quick to respond. He flies from the hip. He knows how to quickly give an answer. And yet in this situation, of course, Jesus has just said some pretty good words. I mean, they're pretty astounded by his teaching ability. But what is unproven is his fishing ability. That's not proven by any means. Especially when it comes to swinging a hammer, I'll listen to a carpenter. But when it comes to throwing a net, I don't know if you know what you're talking about. So we can't therefore be angry at Peter for qualifying his response. To understand that as a fisherman knowing fish very well, that we've just been out all night, we've worked hard, he emphasizes that. It wasn't like we were just sleeping while everyone else was sleeping. We're here fishing. And there's not a fish in this lake to be caught, is what he's saying. We've run it dry. We've tried everything. We just finished washing our nets, meaning it wasn't like 10 hours ago. It was just like a minute ago we were fishing. Now you're saying push out deeper. We tried the deep. We tried the shallow. We tried the east bank, the west bank. We tried it all. And now you're saying, push out. We worked hard. And I find it fascinating because this is exactly how we often respond to God when He calls us to do something. Did you know that? We so often come back to God with our list of excuses. Because God calls us to some things clearly in His Word, but it's amazing how we want His calling for our life, but we won't simply obey what He's called us to do in His Word. I'm talking about how God calls us to tithe. I'll wait for the quiet period after I say that word, because Why is he always on about the tithe? I don't know. Maybe God's on you about the tithe because he calls us to tithe, but we always say, God, don't you know how expensive it is to live in the Bay Area? Don't you know how much 10% of my income would be, God? As if God doesn't know exactly how you got that job and how you got that raise and how by you and your intelligence you got to where you are if it had not been for the grace of God. But God, it's so expensive to live in the Bay Area. It's like God calls us to attend, but yet every other week we need a family day. If I'm hitting a sore point, just say amen, Lex, and no one will know it's you, okay? Just that's how it works in church. Just say amen and nobody knows that I'm talking right into your heart. Because God calls us clearly in his word to serve, but yet we tell God how we've already worked 60 hours this week, and why would I serve on a Sunday as well? And yet this is what Simon Peter is exactly about to launch into. He says, we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. And then right here is here's the greatest catch in this story and possibly in history. Even more than the big catch of fish that they're about to get, we see that Simon Peter catches himself. We see that he's about to go into the very excuses why God's calling wouldn't work, why his plan wouldn't work, when God simply says, push out and let down your nets for a catch. It sounds like a nice idea. What, we're going to go and get catch a fish? But Peter's about to launch into, like we do, with all the excuses as to why that isn't a good idea. And he almost misses it. But what we see before the big catch of fish, we see a small catch of Peter where he catches himself. He says, we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But, and I don't know how he said it. Maybe I'm interpreting it a little bit deeper than what it's meant to, but I feel like that but came with a little bit of a clenched teeth. A little bit of a, really? Like, man, I'm still like fatigued from last night and I'm still aware of all the limitations. I know how much fish there aren't in that. Like, but if you say so. And he catches himself. And this is one of the biggest clues, I feel, to positioning yourself for God's calling in your life. And sometimes maybe we need to change our paradigm around God's call. Because we always connect God's call to what we do. What's God going to do? What's God want me to do in this life? But I like the way that Paul actually talks about God's calling. And he writes this in his letter to the Ephesian church. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 1, let's put that up, because what we see together as we read this together is I want to show you that something's going to help some people, because Paul writes this: as a prisoner for the Lord in verse 1, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. I love this verse because Paul is writing about calling while in chains, while under guard and in prison. And I love it because it contradicts how we often categorize calling, which is often viewed as doing something great and significant for God. But here is Paul in prison. Not how we would categorize something great for God. We often connect greatness to doing something of influence, but yet Paul is in prison, called to be a preacher, unable to preach, still writing about calling. How is it that in a place where his calling isn't being fulfilled the way we view it, he can still write about calling? Because he says this in the second verse, he says, I urge you to live a life worthy of your calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. What's interesting is that Paul doesn't connect calling to what you do. He connects calling to who you are. He doesn't say that calling is connected to what you do. He doesn't say connected. In fact, he uses this whole verse to emphasize the fact that we often see calling as what? Don't we? What? What is it, God? What is it? Or we connect calling to where? Where do you want me to go? Where should I live? Where should I buy a house? Where should I do these things? As if that's the purpose of God's calling. And I want to tell you, God will answer those things. God will tell you what. God will tell you where. But that's not the premise of His calling in our life. His calling is not what and where, it's how and who. God wants us to live a life and who He's called us to be and how He's outlined in His Word. I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Be completely humble, be gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. That's the calling that God calls us to. It's a matter of who and how. Who have you called me to be? How have you called me to live? The main objective with calling is not discovering what He wants me to do, but who He calls me to be. And what we see here is Jesus illustrates to Simon Peter his calling actually has nothing to do with ability. He does this by showing and schooling a fisherman in how to fish. That's what he does. He's like, I'll teach you how to fish. I'm going to show you how to fish right now. Go a little bit deeper. But what I love about this story is the real catch in this story was not how many fish would bite the hook, but in one man biting his lip and not speaking negativity over the calling that God wanted to speak into his life, therefore disqualifying the calling from his own mouth. This is essentially why we see Jesus drop that killer line. He says, you're fishermen, do, but I'm going to make you fishers of men, be. So maybe as I draw this to a close, we could consider and address the idea, or maybe we could consider maybe the idea of calling, the way we've viewed calling, maybe we're coming from the wrong angle. Instead of wondering about God's calling, maybe we simply need to stop talking ourselves out of God's calling. That's what I'm trying to say. Because we often sit there wondering about God's calling, but God's calling is clear in His Scripture. The problem with God's calling is we keep talking ourselves out of it with the negativity that we let surface in our life. Talking about how we're not qualified, talking about what we don't have, talking about what we did do, what then, the poor decisions that somehow disqualify us for the purpose and the plan that God put on our life, even before He formed us in the mother's womb. Did you know that God's plans, I like how it says it in Romans 11:29, for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Oh my goodness. This is good news for some people who thought that now that they're a stay-at-home mom, somehow the call of God doesn't work in their life. That somehow God's plans are hijacked. Come on, God's plans have nothing to do with what you do, but everything to do with who you are in Him. Even before you took your first breath, God said, I formed you. God says, I know the hairs on your head. I know what I made you for. And I know who I called you to be. But it's the negativity that we speak. It's the negativity that comes out of our mouth. It's the negativity that surrounds our life. All the negative things that we speak that somehow disqualify us from being used by God. You don't know my background. You don't know what I did in college. You don't know why I am and who I am. You don't know who I married, God. You really want to use me? Not me. But I dare say that one of the greatest enemies to our own destiny is always negativity. Because God doesn't give His calling based on your ability. But yet we disqualify His call based on our ability. We bring our ability to fulfill what He's called us to do. We look at our circumstances and we look at the situations and don't know how I could do that, God. I don't know what I have within me. I don't know if I've got the pedigree for that. But God's like, it's not based on your ability. I didn't call you to do what. I called you to be who I've called you to be. Come on, would you stand to your feet at every location just in the presence of God as we close? Because I've always, every sermon in this series I've preached, I've intentionally brought us to a place where we could do business with God. Where we could just create a moment at the end of the service to allow the Holy Spirit to illuminate some things in our life. Where we've spoken negatively over the calling that God wants to reveal to us. And we can pray for God to reveal His calling all we want, but unless we deal with the negativity in our hearts that disqualifies us from what God calls us to do, it will never be evident in our life. But I dare say that God's calling is one confession away, that God's calling is one repentance away, that God's calling being so evident is catching yourself, just one catch away, one catching that negativity, catching that voice that wants to come and speak why you can't and why it won't happen, why I've been working so hard and we've been fishing all night, but catch it, but God, if you say so, you don't even need to believe it, you just need to obey. Isn't that crazy? You don't even need to believe that God will do big things through you. You simply need to be obedient to not speak against the things that God wants to do in your life. Just catch it. So let's cast some nets right now over our own hearts. Why don't you go ahead and lift your hands to heaven? And I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit just to illuminate areas in your life where you've spoken negativity. Maybe you've harbored some words that someone's spoken over you. Come on, all of our locations, lift your hands right now. We're gonna do business with God. Maybe you've allowed a parent, a loved one. Maybe you've harbored hurt in your heart that has been the very negative voice disqualifying the call that God wants to place on your heart, the bigness that He's calling you to, the great catch that He's calling you to, but yet you've based in your ability and you've disqualified yourself because of negativity. But maybe right now, as the Holy Spirit illuminates that you could come in repentance before God and say, God, I'm gonna just repent right now for all the negative things I've believed, all the negative things I've said, all the disqualifying remarks, all the limitations I've placed on my own life, saying, how is it possible that you could do something so great through someone like me? How you've disqualified and you've filled your boat with negativity. But by simply saying to God today that, God, I come in surrender and I'm making my heart available. I'm making my boat available. And you're literally inviting Jesus to fill your boat with His purpose, His calling, and His plan, and to reveal it into your life. So God, right now, as people come with humility and repentance, God, I pray that you would illuminate your plan and your purpose and the greatness of your call. The greatness of your love for each and every one of us. God, we're so thankful that despite our qualifications, despite our disqualifications, God, your gifts and your calling are irrevocable. That you persevere with us, that you stick with us, that you don't give up on us. So God, we receive what it is that you have for us today.
Hey, thank you for joining us here at this podcast. We hope it blessed you. And if you want to check out more about our service times, locations, or how to partner with us financially, check out vivechurch.org.